The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch.
Okay, we are going to talk about Jasper the Mule, but I'd like to know, how did all of this get started? Tell us, Meredith.
I started the articles in 1982, but by 1993, I had enough articles to put together my first book, Training Mules and Donkeys, A Logical Approach to Long Ears.
Right.
And so I piled all those training articles that I wrote, both the articles about the psychology and the philosophy, as well as the actual practice of the exercises and everything. And I put them in my first book. And then people started writing letters to me, and they wanted to know more details than what I had in the book. So that's when I contracted the videographers to do the video series of 10 videos with more detail in them at every stage and arranged in a logical and sequential order. And then I realized that there was a lot of training details and that kind of stuff, but there were a lot of other things that had to do with owning an equine that I thought needed to be addressed too. And that's when I wrote my Guide to Raising and Showing book. Okay. And I wrote Donkey Training, which there were specifics about donkeys that were different. So I thought I better flesh those out, put those in a book. So in 2003, I wrote a Guide to Raising and Showing Mules, which has a lot of the details that they were extraneous from doing the training thing. It was all about disease and all about aging by teeth, about hoof care, about breeding, and all of those kinds of things. And so in 2003, I wrote that book. But in 1999 was when I captured videotapes, DVDs, number 9 and 10, and I put them in a hardbound book so that anybody that was training donkeys would have the donkey stuff fleshed out for them and clearly defined.
Mm.
And then I got down the road and everybody was getting excited about the natural horsemanship thing, and they were asking me questions about that. And so I thought, oh boy, I got to do another detailed thing. And so
you bet.
Well, that's when I came up with Equus Revisited.
Sure.
And it is what it says. It's Equus Revisited. Now, I've done all of these, you know, training things, maintenance things, things about donkeys that were different and all of that. And so I thought, well, it's time to address that. But after I had done a guide to showing in mules, and before I got into addressing the things that were different about natural horsemanship in this new world, I started thinking that we have young people growing up, and I was watching to see what kind of books they were reading, what kind of TV shows they were watching, and what kinds of things attracted kids. And this was in the day and age when all these video games started coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And celebrities were writing children's books. And I thought Michael Bolton's book was really good because it was kind of a fantasy book, you know, and that's what kids like. They like stories.
Sure.
They like fairy tales. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I started thinking that maybe I needed to do something a little different. And when I talked to my father about it, he said, Meredith, you would be really good at writing children's books. So why don't you write some children's books? And I thought, wow, that's the key that I need.
Right.
I need to write children's books about mules.
Mm-hmm.
And how to relate to them, because there are so many kids out there. By this time, it was getting pretty prevalent that kids were torturing animals, especially cats.
Oh boy.
You know, and being really mean to animals. This society started taking a turn for hate and hateful way
right.
of thinking. And I thought, well, I can counter this with more fairy tales about mules. So that was when Jasper the Mule was born.
Okay.
I conjured up my character, Jasper the Mule. I partnered with Bonnie Shields, who became my illustrator. So I would write the stories, and Bonnie would go ahead and she would do all the illustrations for the books and everything. And eventually down the line, after we'd done quite a few books, we decided that it would be good, since kids were watching video games and videos on everything and were glued to phones and everything else like that, we thought, well, we got to have a video alternative. So we partnered with first Bill Melendez Productions, which was my dad's company that he partnered with to do the Peanuts videos. But then I got together with Bill, and he did Jasper, the Story of a Mule, which was the story about, it was the first book that introduced all of the characters. So anyway, Bonnie and I partnered with Bill Melendez Productions, and those were the people that did the Peanuts videos. So I thought that would be a really good place to start. And when I told Bill Melendez what I wanted to do, he was just thrilled to death. And he actually came out to the ranch to meet the mules and to learn about mules, so that when they put this animation together to go along with our book, Jasper, the Story of a Mule, that it would be very cohesive. So anyway, he came out here and met all the mules and got to know mules and what they were all about and everything, so that he could get the right flavor for the video. And Bill had never had his animators animate a mule before. And it turned out to be quite a good thing. And actually, you know, I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself, but this is where the videos started. And then what we did with the books is each year. So what we did was we wrote one book a year, but we wanted to have these books educational as well. So what we did was we picked holidays and we did a historical theme to them. And the first one we did was Jasper, A Christmas Caper. And that was after the lead-in book that is bigger, that actually introduces the characters in the story of how Jasper, where Jasper was born and what his experiences were. And then we went off and did Jasper, The Christmas Caper, and we had a theme about giving during Christmas.
Okay.
Then the next one we did was Jasper, A Precious Valentine, and we brought in the theme of love and what love is all about. And then we did Jasper, A Fabulous Fourth, and we brought in the whole thing about celebrating patriotism and loving your country. And then we got into Jasper, A Turkey Tale, and we celebrated the aspect of giving to others and being of service to others. And so that's kind of how the books were born. And then we decided to do one more a little bit later called Jasper, An April Mule's Day. And so that one was a major joke that turned out to be the 20 Mule Team. And we actually have a picture in the Jasper book about how the 20 Mule Team can turn a corner with 20 mules, which is, that's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
And while we were doing the videos, we didn't have a book about this, but we thought we needed a link between our Jasper mascot that we took to events and everything and the cartoon character that was in the videos. And so we did a video called Jasper Goes to Bishop, where Jasper starts out in the animation, but then he lays down and goes to sleep and he dreams about going to Bishop. And then the mascot is brought alive in Bishop and has to take the place of a champion mule in the events and wins. And then he gets so tired at Bishop that he lays down and goes to sleep again. And then he wakes up back in the animation. And everybody laughs at him when he says, oh, I went to Bishop. Oh, yeah, Moxie says, oh, sure you did, you know. And then everybody goes back to the barn and everything, and Jasper's left there in the field by himself. And, oh, I really did. I really did go to Bishop. And about that time, the wind comes up and knocks a blue ribbon out of the tree, and it floats down. And then it says on it, Jasper, Champion of Bishop.
Oh, cool.
And he says, I really did go to Bishop. You know, he's all excited about that. But I thought that I didn't want kids to be confused, because I had had a lot of people ask me, well, was Jasper one of your mules? And my thought on the whole thing was, no, Jasper isn't really one of my mules. I met Jasper in my dreams.
Ooh.
And after I met Jasper in my dreams, he wrote a letter to me. Now, Jasper is here in the office with us today, and he would like to read the letter that he wrote himself. So I'm going to put you on with Jasper, and he is going to read the letter he wrote to us over the phone.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, dear Meredith. My name is Jasper. I am a 3-year-old, 15-hands-high, quarter-horse-bred bay mule. I suppose by people standards, I'm really nothing special, but I'm still me. I heard my owners talking about you the other day. They said that if anyone could help set me straight, it'd be you. I didn't know there was a problem. I always try to do what they want me to, but sometimes that can be hard to figure out. When I was just a foal, people used to come out to see my mother and me. We were pastured on a couple of acres that surrounded an old shed where we used to get in out of the weather. My mother was content to graze and doze day after day. She wasn't much on excitement. I used to love it when the people came and carry on about how cute I was. Then they would scratch and massage my fuzzy little body. They even got a little playful when I followed them around, romping, playing, and bumping them with my nose. Oh, look how cute and friendly he is, they'd say. One day, when I was about 6 months old, the people came to play. I was feeling especially good that day and was glad to see some playmates coming to my pasture. I let them scratch and pet me for about 10 minutes. Then they started to leave. I didn't want them to go so quickly, so I ran behind one of the older men, nipped him on the rear end playfully, and looked my forelegs over his shoulder. Get out of here, you brat, the man yelled. I didn't understand. They always liked to play before. I guess we'll have to start halter breaking this mule and teach him some manners, another one said. A few days went by before they came back. I was more cautious this time. I wanted to be scratched and loved, but I didn't want to make them angry with me. Out of nowhere, they began trying to wrap this thing around my face. Didn't even give me a chance to see or smell it. I felt trapped and scared to death. What were they going to do to me now? Had I been worse than I had thought the other day? Did they want to kill me? I'd seen them whip my mother one time when she wouldn't go into that dark little room on wheels. She said it was best to do what they wanted. That room was so small, she wasn't sure she would fit. So she hesitated. People don't like it when you hesitate, so try to perform quickly, she said. My mother always helped me try to understand these humans and to appreciate the good things they have given us. As soon as that halter thing was attached to my face, they tried to lead me away from my mother. That's when I saw the little room on wheels parked along the pasture fence. We were going for a ride. I called for my mother to come. She took a couple of steps toward me when one of the two men shooed her off the other way. I was going along with these two guys, but where? Why? I got scared. I pulled, kicked, bucked to get away, but nothing worked. They were both bigger than me, and before long, I found myself locked in that little room on wheels, all alone. I was frightened, but I was brave. When they finally opened the doors to let me out, I came out of that trailer so fast, I accidentally knocked one of the men down. Whoops. Before I could show him how sorry I was, he jerked on my head and laced me about the head and neck with a long, skinny stick and stung like a bee. Better stand still, I thought. Well, he didn't like that either. They were pulling on my head and hitting me on the rear with that stinging stick. If I followed, it released the pressure from around my face, and the man with the stick would stop. So I followed. That was the first day of what they called training. They put me in a small house they called a stall. It had a small yard outside, large enough to walk around in, but not nearly enough room to romp and play. Whenever the man came to take me out, I had hopes of finally getting a chance to stretch my legs and play a little. But every time I tried to play, he would only get angry with me and force me to stand still. Sometimes he would even tie me up and leave me alone for hours. It was worse than being in my stall. I tried to be good and do what he wanted, but there were always so many new things going on around me that I never really felt relaxed. Maybe I wasn't supposed to relax. Even the man who was training me seemed a little nervous and hesitant about how I would react. What was he nervous about? Why did he try to hide it? Is there something about all this that he wasn't telling me? Will I get hurt? The day they put the saddle on my back when I was 2 was only one of many confusing times. I didn't really mind the saddle until they fastened the belt around my middle so tight that I could hardly breathe. I bucked and ran, trying to get rid of the nasty thing, or at least loosen it from around my middle. "He is going to be a real tough one," the man said to my owner. I'm not really sure what he meant. I learned pretty quickly that the bucking only caused more pain as the stirrups thumped against my sensitive body. It was better to move smoothly with that saddle on my back for sure. It took me a while to learn to stop and turn when they pulled on that bit in my mouth. But the worst part was trying to keep my balance through all of this. Didn't they know that I was still very young and growing and not really all that strong despite my size? They would ride me until I was stiff and sore, then put me back in that small area with no room to stretch and exercise. They gave me rest for days at a time with no other exercise. It seemed like I was either overworked or overrested. My muscles never really had a chance to become stronger. Somehow, though, I managed to learn. I guess we all do, whether it's the hard way or not. The reason that I'm writing to you is to ask you to let mule owners know that we mules don't mean to make mistakes. We love people. They know so many ways to have fun, and they can be so kind and understanding when they want to be. I just wish they didn't think that we are deliberately trying to be bad. The only time I was ever bad was when I didn't understand what they wanted. Even when I was stiff, sore, and fed up, at least I tried. I met Baby CT and CG at Bishop Mule Days this year. They said they have a wonderful life, equally balanced with training, pasture time, just plain fun, and a lot of consideration for their feelings. CG said you were really mad at her for refusing all the jumps in the Hunter Under Saddle class, but that you were fair. You made her do them in the jumping class, rode the English Pleasure class, then let her rest for the remainder of the show, since you knew she was in heat and feeling crampy. CG admitted that she can sometimes be a little stubborn and unfair herself, so she tried to make up for it by doing her very best in the English Pleasure class that brought her 4th place in some very stiff competition. I wish my owners would be a little more fair with me. I'm only 3 years old, and they had already been riding me for a year. If they would only slow down and explain more carefully, maybe I wouldn't make so many mistakes. And maybe if I had more playtime, I wouldn't get impatient with them. And maybe if they learn to balance and control their own bodies, they won't throw me off balance when I'm trying to do what they want. I really like my people, and like most mules, I really want to please them. B and CG said, "You know how to speak mule." Wish everybody did. Makes it easier to communicate when you speak the same language. Do you think you could teach more people to speak mule so we can all enjoy our lives with our owners as much as your mules enjoy you? I hope so. Sincerely yours, Jasper.
Wow.
Thank you, Jasper. It's so much better to have you read your own letter.
That is cool.
Isn't that cool? Well, Jasper wrote that letter in 1990 before I had actually done the training book, but that is what kind of set me on the track and let me know that it was really important to do these training books and videos and everything, and launched me into my career that way. And then since then, we decided that Jasper needed to make appearances after we'd done the Jasper series, that he would make appearances at the different events. But while we were writing the books, we thought it was very important to introduce children to mules, donkeys, horses, ponies, and how to train them the right way, given their age and their ability. So, of course, they're not going to know how to walk in good posture with them or anything like that. So in the books, the training is very loose, but it still reflects a good attitude between the kids, you know, in the book, and the mule, Jasper, and his friends, Moxie the dog, and all the other people and characters that he meets along the way. And this has turned out to be quite a project, and it just kind of grew. So we decided Jasper had to have his own website, too. And so he's got all kinds of games on his website. It introduces you to the characters. It's got biographies of me and Bonnie and how we came to be together and what we were thinking about when we were doing all of these creative projects. We took photographs of the Jasper mascot at all the events, and we've got a photo gallery on the website. We've got all kinds of games that you can play, like concentration with using playing cards with the Jasper characters on them. And other games like a maze, learning the parts of a mule and everything like that. And so the website is kind of composed of education and whimsy. We have made Jasper real. He's whimsical. He's a fantasy. But in our world, he's real.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So making Jasper seem really real to the kids only adds dimension to the books and the videos, which is something that I see lacking in a lot of the children's books today. And with the woke society, it got really off the tracks, you know, and kids couldn't just be kids and get into their imaginations and feel good about it, because a lot of these imaginary things that are out there in books now are really rather disturbing. And so I wanted to do...
Okay, so when you say disturbing, what do you mean by that?
I mean that they're getting into adult issues with children.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're thinking that, well, bringing in sex and everything, kindergarten level when they start reading and stuff. And the Jasper books, people have asked me, what age are they appropriate? And I can honestly say that the way that I wrote this series, it's age appropriate for any age.
Right, okay.
You know, and why do I say that? Because the first book, although it's numerous pages, and it's, what, about 3/4 of an inch thick, it's an introduction to all the characters. So it becomes a bedtime book that parents can take, and it's got chapters, so that you can read a chapter each night at bedtime, and each chapter ends at a critical moment that makes the kid want to hear more, but they're too tired to listen anymore. So, you know, it's a good bedtime book because the chapters are long enough. So I think they're pretty close to 10 pages for a chapter.
Okay.
So it kind of makes the kid tired, and then they want to go to sleep. Now, when the child becomes about 1.5, 2 years old, then they're used to having this bedtime book. But now they start paying more attention to the pictures in the book rather than listening to the story. So they listen to the story, but then now they see how the pictures reflect the story, and they're listening to the words that you're telling them. By the time they're in kindergarten, and you're still reading this book, this storybook to them at night to put them to sleep, now they are used to listening to the story, seeing the pictures, and they are introduced to their ABCs and sentences and words and all of that in school. So they begin to read what you are reading, and they catch some words that are really easy that they see in school, so they will begin to read along with you. And you can even ask them if they want to read a few words along with you. So it becomes a teaching tool. The better they get in school at reading, the more of the book they can read. And so then you find as they get down the road and they learn to read that they will actually go and pull the book out of the shelves themselves and read it when it's not bedtime. It inspires learning the way that we did it.
Okay.
It's not just a story like these people were writing about kids being introduced to sex and Johnny not wanting to be Johnny wants to be Jane. You know, and things that get to be really confusing to a child.
Right.
I think that kids need to be able to learn in some kind of a sequence that makes sense to them. Now, as these new books were coming out with these new adult subjects and everything, it was about the same time that we were putting out the Jasper books and the Jasper videos. And I sent the book out to a lot of libraries, and I got mostly good reviews on it. And the libraries were complimentary and were glad that we sent them free books to put in their libraries. But there were people, particularly on the East Coast, librarians that wrote back to me and said, oh, this is a horrible story, you know, because Jasper, the story of a mule, had a lot of things in it that they didn't like. This was at the same age that they didn't think spanking a child was appropriate. So, of course, Jasper, getting whipped with the riding crop, did not settle with them. The other thing that didn't was when one of the men said, oh, he's just a brat, using that kind of language they didn't like. And then when we got into the books that were about patriotism, they really didn't like that at all because they had a completely different idea about things than we did, where we focused on love and giving. The love book hit okay because that was fairly benign and right up with their narratives. But giving, serving, yes, at Christmas when they wanted to ban Christmas, they really did not like my Jasper the Mule series.
Wow.
However, in Middle America, where all of us cowboys and ranchers and everything are, those books sold like hotcakes.
Oh, God.
And the kids loved them because they could see their lifestyle in the book. Jasper was a little mule that grew up on a ranch, and they had to sell Jasper in order to get the money to keep the ranch, which are problems that arise in rural America when you're a rancher or a farmer.
Sure.
And then, you know, the whole story kind of goes around that, and then it hits the training process and how much it's abbreviated and how hard it is for a mule that doesn't know anything, just like a child that doesn't know anything, that's forced to grow up too fast with abbreviated instructions and exercises to do. They don't get a chance to really process what they're learning. And that was another theme that ran through the books and made children who are reading the books aware that if they want to teach their animals something, they have to be willing to spend a little time on it so that they can fully learn what you're trying to teach them. And if you spend the time like that with the animal, then you're less likely to get all those resistant behaviors that cause fear in humans about these big animals. And kids they're kind of naive about things, and in their innocence, they're not afraid. But they learn to be afraid from the human beings that are teaching them. So a lot of times humans don't realize what they're saying when they're teaching their kids how to ride and how to handle animals, and particularly mules. When I decided that I needed to address the kids that were asking me how they could use a mule or a donkey in a 4-H club program, I didn't know what to say to them. So I went to the 4-H club leaders and they said, oh, we can't let them do that. Those animals are too dangerous. And then I would explain to them how they really weren't, and how in their innocence, these kids often get along with these big animals better than we adults that, and they just need a little guidance. And then I was met up with the excuse that, oh, well, we have a horse manual, but we don't have anything that you can use with a mule. But that was one of the inspirations that I used to create a guide to raising and showing animals. When I decided to write that book, I went and got a copy of the 4-H Club Horse Manual. And I wrote that book in the same format, using that as a template, only converting it to mules so that they would have all the information they needed about the management and training of mules set up in the 4-H Club way. Well, at that point in time, too, then the 4-H Club leaders that I was talking to said that they wanted to approve my book before it got published.
What?
And I informed them, you don't have the experience with mules that I do.
Right.
So it would be very hard for you to do a constructive critique of my book, not knowing anything about mules. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and publish this book. And I'm going to say in my advertising that it's for beginners that are just starting out with mules and for 4-H Club projects. And then it's up to you whether you want to buy the book and use it for your 4-H Club groups or not. But I will not have you coming in and critiquing a book that you know nothing about. And oddly enough, I had the same problem with the donkey training book when I did that one exclusively. Because what I did, and as you know from the interview that we did last week, donkeys are really kind of comical. And they force you to have a good sense of humor because it takes them so long to decide something. And the way they think about things is not necessarily the way horses or mules think about things. So you really have to pay attention to your sense of humor when you're training donkeys. And so in the donkey training book, I put cartoons. Bonnie made me some cartoons to put in that book at every chapter where we were talking about things and what a donkey might think at that point in time. For instance, one of her cartoons in the breeding section was a cartoon of a jack and a female donkey all dressed up in a really burlesque outfit and how the jack was attracted to that. And so I submitted that book to the Independent Publishers Association for awards, one of them. There's several of them. And they came back and told me it was an awful book. And that it was just totally out of line with those silly cartoons in it. And I tried to explain to them that you have to have a sense of humor if you're going to work with a donkey. And this would lighten the load for people when they were reading the book. And they might get an idea that maybe being forceful and pushy and controlling might not be the way to go. And that was the purpose of the cartoons. But they were having no part about it. They would not reconsider the book. They just said, nope, nope, nope. Too bad, so sad. So I submitted that book to another independent publisher's award here in Colorado, and they gave it first place.
Cool.
They understood.
All right.
So that's just going to show some people get it, some people don't.
Right,
you
right.
Know, but there's a lot of people out there that want to be very controlling about all of this. And so I think that inventing the Jasper character and letting him become more real as we went along really made it easier for people to accept him and really like him and want to use him, you know, with children and all of that. And one of the things that happened out at Bishop Mule Days, I thought, oh, well, they'll like to have another mascot out there. They had the clowns out there that put on a show and everything. But when I took Jasper out there at first, they went, oh, he's too big. He's going to scare everybody. And so I thought, well, the only way to stop that is just to have Jasper, before he gets in the middle of crowds, just walk through the barns, introduce himself to people, and see how the kids react to him. And our Jasper mascot guy is such an amazing man. He's a Marine. But more than that, he's got a wonderful sense of children and a wonderful sense of humor. And he can coax kids to him very easily.
Oh.
And that was shown when he went to Bishop Mule Days and he met all these kids.
Okay.
And then we were there with our cameras because we wanted to take pictures for the Jasper Gallery on the website. And we wanted to provide those pictures to parents of their kids with Jasper. And we didn't charge for it. We gave them to them for free.
That's very cool.
They saw a picture that they liked that we took of Jasper then, and they wanted it. We would go ahead and ask them what size they wanted and all of that. And we would go ahead and give them to them. And pretty soon, after a few years, we just started a routine of him walking through the barns and everything and meeting all the exhibitors and all the spectators that were walking through the barns with their kids. And pretty soon they were running all around, like, where's Jasper? Where's Jasper? We want to see Jasper. Well, he'll be here soon. And then pretty soon Jasper would appear. And then the Bishop Mule Days committee said, well, would you like to put Jasper in the musical tires class and have him perform during the event with the clowns? And we said, oh, sure, that sounds great. So we would have Jasper go out during that event with his own Secret Service to monitor him, because it's kind of hard to see in that costume behind you and off to the side. And we didn't want him getting run over by a mule or anything in that class. Because what they do is they put tires, little tire blow-up tires on the ground, and they're all in a circle, and then the contestants ride their mules around while the music is playing. And then when the music goes off, then they have to jump off their mule and lead them to a tire and put their foot on a tire, or they're going to be eliminated. Because it's just like musical chairs.
Yeah.
And so they would do that. But see, it was Jasper and the clown's jobs. They were in the middle of the circle, so when the contestants ran to a tire and put their foot on the tire, the clowns and Jasper would run up to the tire, and over half the mules would spook and drag the people off the tires, giving room to the one person that didn't have their foot on a tire, giving them a chance to get their foot on a tire. And so once that stuff was pretty much done, and then the clowns were armed with guns with blanks in them that made really loud noises,
right.
And they gave Jasper some silly string to spray all over to help spook the mules off the tires.
Oh.
And it was just an amazing, funny event for many, many years. And then we got into the woke society and they thought everything was dangerous. So they said the clowns couldn't have the guns, Jasper couldn't have the silly string, and that the musical tires class got a little boring, if you will.
Oh, sure.
But it went on for several years, like I said, and many, many people got to know Jasper. And not only did, once they got to know Jasper, then he had to do even more, because during the other event, people were asking, oh, where's Jasper? Where's Jasper? So we decided that it would be okay to release Jasper to go up in the stands and meet all the people while they were being spectators for all these different events. So when they filled up the stands, Jasper went up there and walked around up and down the stairs and everything. And if you don't think it's hard for a guy in costume to do that in 100-degree weather out in California.
Yeah.
But we had that whole thing rigged so that it had a fan inside of it. He wore a vest with ice packs in it to keep him cool. And being a Marine, he was very durable. He did it. But Jasper is just a whole lot of fun for the kids, and he puts smiles on people's faces everywhere he goes. And so I think that we kind of stumbled on it, out of sort of necessity, but Jasper has evolved into a character that everybody recognizes. And my dad told me a long time ago, he said, I asked him, I said, well, now that I'm not being a doctor or a lawyer, I said, what's the best advice that you can give me. And my dad said, find something you love and stick with it. And that's what I kind of did with not only Jasper, but with the mules. And the mules have taken me on this journey that discovered Jasper, that developed Jasper, that made people happy so that we could serve them and give them positive things in their lives, which has become such a joy for all of us here at the Lucky Tree Ranch to do. We have tours here now. The insurance got so expensive that doing clinics here on the ranch with other people bringing in their animals or even them coming by themselves for instruction got so expensive that we couldn't do it. So we decided that we could do tours because that way all we need is liability insurance for the ranch. And as long as they weren't going in the pens with the animals, then we could have the people here on the ranch walking around. And we have a lot of assisted living places that come here, which is really rewarding because these people otherwise have to sit in these assisted living places and they only have limited recreation that they can do. And when they come out here to see the ranch, and it's all very friendly for wheelchairs, for people on oxygen, for blind people, even the blind people, we take them up to the statues and we take them to the shady side because bronze can get very hot.
Right.
But we take their hands and run them over the statues on the cool side so they can feel what everybody is watching. It puts smiles on everybody's faces. And they tell us that this is the best well-kept secret ever, that they never knew they could have a tour at the Lucky Tree Ranch. And when they were thinking about it, they were thinking about going to a dirty old ranch, knee-deep in manure, animals in dirty pens and all that kind of stuff. And this ranch is anything but that. But the thing that was the crowning glory of the whole thing is when we decided to go ahead and let Jasper lead the larger children's tours. And when we did that, we decided that the kids needed a different format than the adults did. So where the adults watched the history of the Lucky Tree Ranch video at the front of their tour, the kids get to pick one of the Jasper videos to watch instead. And the one that's most popular is Jasper Goes to Bishop, because that way they get to see the transformation of the animated character into the mascot that they're going to meet after the movie. And the other thing that we did was we decided that Jasper had to have a place to live on the ranch. So we converted our employee mobile home. They were just trashing it anyway, so I decided I didn't want any employees living on the ranch. So we converted the employee mobile home into the Jasper bunkhouse.
Wow.
And when you walk up to it, it says Jasper bunkhouse. And then on the shutters are the profiles of all the characters in the book. And when you walk into the Jasper bunkhouse, it's painted like the inside of the books. So you feel like you're walking into the storybooks. And in the first room, we even have a diorama, a miniature of the Happy Valley Ranch that's in the book with all the characters and everything in this miniaturized thing. And Bonnie painted a mural on the wall as the background for the Happy Valley Ranch with Bald Mountain, and that's where they rode in Jasper, A Precious Valentine. They rode up Bald Mountain so that you recognize these things that are in the book when you walk into the house. And then Jasper has a dining room, and then the whole house is decorated with mule and donkey memorabilia. Jasper has his own Eeyore collection in the living room. He has all kinds of stuffed animals and everything like that. We've got donkey and mule pictures on the walls everywhere. We've even got donkey and mule bedspreads for the bed. And Jasper, when he has these kids in, he, depending on the day and the length of the tour that they want, after they get to come in the bunkhouse and everything, they usually come in the bunkhouse after Well, they'll walk through it, but then we take them out back where we've built the Jasper Carousel, and the kids all get to ride on the carousel, and then they come back into the house, and sometimes Jasper will say, oh, are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? And he'll go into the kitchen, and he'll cook oatmeal on the stove.
Oh, that's good.
And put it in a ball, and he will sit down at the dining room table, and he will say his prayers. And he's got a little bit of grass hay on a salad plate. And he will sit there and show the kids good manners. And then after he shows them all of this, then he cleans up his dishes and puts them away. And then we have Jasper postcards, and we give them out, and coloring color book sheets to all the kids, and then Jasper will autograph them all before they leave. They go home after that. Jasper will often, when we first get there with the kids, we have the kids stand out in the driveway in front of the bunkhouse and call Jasper out of the house. They go, hey, Jasper! And he comes out dressed in his cowboy hat and his woolly chaps. And he will take the kids on the last part of the tour to the old western town where there are Jasper, Kylie, Moxie, and Belle, his mother, statues at the Long Ears livery. And they get to walk through the old western town, and they get to meet some of the mules in the dirt pen right there in front of the Jasper bunkhouse before they go into the bunkhouse and go out back to ride the carousel and then come through the house and get a tour of Jasper's house and everything and get his autograph and go home. So it has made this ranch quite unique. And Jasper is, like I said, a favorite character. And the tours for the kids are getting bigger and bigger. We had two tours this year with 24 kids in each one.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of school groups come, a lot of 4-H, FFA. We had one FFA group of kids that was 50 kids that came from Missouri. That was several years ago. But Jasper has evolved into quite a character. And that's why, like I said, we have to have his own website and encourage kids to get over there. And there's a lot for them to do over there. There's even a game where they can build their own storybooks with the Jasper characters. We have all the tack and equipment. They can capture it and put it on a Jasper character like Valentine or Jasper. They can hitch him up to a four-wheel wagon or a two-wheel cart. They can have him under saddle, either English, Western, or side saddle. And then these creations that they make, they can actually print them out either as a color picture to make the book, or they can print them out in black and white as a coloring book picture, and it becomes something that you can put your own colors into with crayons. So it's quite a creative endeavor that we've done here with Jasper the Mule, and he's still going strong. He comes up for the tours and everything upon request, and when we book these things and kids are reading his books, buying his books, getting up on the website and taking full advantage of this creative opportunity for kids, which I think is offering them a whole lot more than these single books with adult themes could ever do. And the main thing is that we really want kids to enjoy their childhood the way I enjoyed mine.
Oh, yeah.
With all my animals and everything, and growing up with them and building my own ranch in the dirt with my plastic horses before I even ride the real horses at 8 years old.
You know,
I was out there building things with stick and whatever I could find. But it inspires creativity. It inspires entrepreneurship. And I think, you know, those kinds of things are things that our society is sorely lacking these days. But this is something that we can provide, that we do provide, that make both the kids, their parents, their teachers, and everybody happy, educating them about these big animals, that they're not so frightening after all.
Yeah, and it's more appropriate. It's just
a healthy perspective to life. And,
right.
Yeah.
You learn so much as you go along.
Yeah.
Find that you learn new lessons every day.
Yes. Oh, I love it. This is really neat. This is cool. Well, you are amazing.
Thought this was
going to
be a little boring, did you?
No. Hey, I have extended my childhood until further notice. So this is really good stuff.
Awesome. You and me both. You know, there's nothing like having the kind of childhood that we had.
I know.
And the freedom that went with it and the creativity that went with it.
Yeah.
And building relationships with our animals.
Sure.
And other people, our friends. Can you imagine all the things that you have instilled in the friends that you met and the things you inspired them to do?
Yes. Oh, Meredith, this is great stuff. It is lunchtime, so I guess we'll break away and we'll talk soon.
Sounds perfect, Cindy. This is so enjoyable. And we never run out of things to talk about.
Oh, I know. I love it. Thank you, Meredith.
And thank you, Cindy. This is just wonderful.
Meredith's website is lucky3ranch.com, and you can call her at 1-800-816-7566. And I can be reached through my website, everycowgirlsdream.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.